Yeah, that's fun, I reckon. Because yesterday I had Christmas Day for the first time for 53 years with family. Wow. Woo-hoo! I visited 3 houses. I had 4 lots of pudding. And but most of the people in these houses love the Lord. I thought, what a gift. What a gift from God. I suddenly, lately when Cuz, I affectionately, it's Valerie, but I call her Cuz, moved in, I thought, Lord, your favour is amazing. You are a God who favours and blesses. You are amazing. And it was a surprise, total surprise. I'm entitling this message, Look Up for This Year. And I found a yummy scripture in Deuteronomy 11, 11 and 12. And it says, but the Lord you're crossing, the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. In other words, he watches through every season. So the promised land for us is a metaphor of the kingdom of God. Back in the Old Testament, the promised land was a physical reality where the people of Israel were taken out of Egypt, they went through the desert, and their goal was the promised land. For us, it's a metaphor for taking the kingdom, for growing, getting to know God better and better. Each year, we're developing, improving, becoming more and more alive and aware of God's goodness. We're growing and moving forward. So looking up and out at 2021, what we might see are mountains and valleys. So the mountains are the places where we have clear vision. We know what God's doing. It's a great view. We can see what's happening. Things are clear. The valleys, they might be places where we don't see as clearly, can't see what's going on, don't get what God's doing. But what's promised is that there is rain from heaven. There is always drinking water available for us. And what's also promised is that we have God's caring protection all through that time. So it's so encouraging to know that the future will always provide living water to drink. It's satisfying, it's comforting, it's inspiring to us, whatever our experience is. And we can have messy experiences and still drink the heavenly water. You will be sustained by God himself this year. We want more of that, don't we? He is the living water. Do you remember when he was at the well? We're talking another metaphor here. Where Jesus said to this lady, give me a drink. She said, you don't even have a bucket. And he said, if you knew the kind of water I was offering, you would never thirst again. And she said, evermore give me this water. This I want. And yes, she got saved and she went and led others to the Lord as well. So our experience of the last year can't be the same as what we're going to experience. I don't care. They talk pandemic. They talk all sorts of things. It could get worse. Okay, that's the physical reality. But for us, it's going to get better. Okay, so we are people who face the year with hope, faith and expectancy. And we expect God's goodness. I must admit, I didn't expect to get rallies, but I got them. Isn't that cute of God? He said, she's not expecting this, but I'm going to download it. So last year you may have been in a land of struggle, challenges and even failures. But the new year promises improvement, expansion, increase, stretching, and new joys. That's if you look up and not down. This year, you need to agree with God, you're going to develop the habit of looking up and not down. I want you to all look at the floor. Okay, now look up. Which was better? When you look down, you see carpet and shoes. When you look up, you see all these people, the vision, it's amazing. So, if you face this year or arm yourself with hope, faith and expectation and drink from that promised living water. Why am I certain of this? Well, it says in Psalm 85, 12, the Lord will give that which is good. He's not standing by to give us anything less. And our land shall yield her increase. It's another metaphor for God's prosperity and favour. Hope is essential to face the year. In fact, hope is essential to face the day. And God says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. Oh, no, don't give me any of that prosperity doctrine. Well, actually, I'm really into it. If God's going to give it to me, I'm as happy as anything. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And in the King James, it says an expected end. We are a people who face the future with hope, more than any people on the earth. You take away the faith out of the body or the hope out of the body of Christ, we've got a hell on earth. You are, of all people, people of hope. You've got more reason to lift your spirits and to look up than any other people on the earth. So in Hebrews 6:19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor to the soul, firm and secure. Hope is confident expectancy. We confidently expect the favour and the goodwill of God. In God, we don't have fear and dread. I think sometimes, because of what's happened in the past, occasionally, we face the future with dread, with worries and fears. But that's not. God has given us hope and faith. Now, hope precedes faith, and faith pleases God. And it's the substance of things hoped for. So we all know the results of those 10 spies. Remember, Moses sent out the 12 spies. We know the story so well, but it's an incredible illustration of how not to do it. And you have 12 sent out, 10 come back. They absolutely lost their spiritual minds. They saw the giants. They saw the impossibilities in their minds. They looked down and not up. They were intimidated by what they saw in their natural eyes. They saw no possibilities for the future. The God factor had faded. The physical reality obscured the spiritual reality, which was God's guarantee of victory. It was God who was leading them. It was God who promised it. They felt it was not possible. How many times have you looked at something and thought, oh, I don't think that's possible? It looked impossible as well. They saw the so-called giants in the land, they saw the obstacles, and they suddenly became very inadequate. And they said, we can't do it and we won't do it. Unbelief has got a sad end. I heard a lovely testimony from my family yesterday, and it was how my cousin had set up in the early 2000s a marvellous ministry for broken women. And in the very first year of setting it up, there were challenges, there were some difficulties, and it was seemed like a bit of a rocky road. And someone said to Val, look, why don't you give it up? It's not working. And she said the moment she heard that, something in her looked up and declared what God had said. And that was the beginning of 12 fantastic years. So sometimes the physical, the way things look, creeps into our perspective and suddenly we can shut down on God. So the spies forgot their previous victories. They forgot the God factor. And, you know, somebody else who missed the unseen realm was Gehazi. He got terrified because the king had sent these troops out to get him and Elisha. And he yelled out to Elisha, my Lord, look what's happening. And he said, don't worry about it, Gehazi. Lord, open his eyes. And suddenly he saw troops, heavenly troops, surrounding them and protecting them. I challenge you to say to God today, often through this year, Lord, open my eyes so I can see what you're doing instead of being lost and focusing down on the ground and foraging around looking for beetles. Not quite. The blessedness of the faith life. In Hebrews it says, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Sometimes we don't see it for a while. I always think of Job. Man alive, God didn't ever lean down and say, hey, by the way, Job, I'm setting up this situation because the devil didn't believe that. Nothing. He didn't inform Job. Job had to rock on in trust. Sometimes you can't see what God is doing. The big problem for some people is that they tend to base everything on what their five senses reveal. The eye of faith, however, perceives the unseen reality. The spiritual world is all around us, enclosing us. Whether you like to believe it or not, you're surrounded by the spiritual world. It's enclosing us, it's embracing us, and it's all together within our reach. We will become aware of the spiritual world the moment we begin to reckon upon its reality. When we declare it as so, its reality, and believe what he has promised. And some say faith is like a muscle. So without a doubt, the word of God can strengthen the faith of believers. In John's gospel, it says, these things are written that you may believe. The psalmist made a point of saying, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look, we've got the promises of God. We know God personally. We know how kind, how loving, how beautiful his heart is. We've seen all the heroes of faith. These are the reasons why we can face the future with hope, faith, and expectancy. Now, have you seen a child who's full of expectancy? They come to dad because they want dad to lift them up so they can see. And they will come to dad like this. And our Father loves it when we come to him like that. With a childlike expectancy that he's going to do good and give favour and answer our prayers and our cries. You know, this all might mean we've got to shake off some of our old attitudes. Have you got any? Well, sometimes we do. You know, the attitudes that come from disappointments. Look, our wineskin can get a bit crusty. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Ever felt a bit of crust on your wineskin? A bit of stiffness? A bit of like it just wouldn't move? That's right. We might have to shrug that off. The Bible has a scripture for us there. It says, remember not the former things. If it's the former things that have failed you, don't remember them. Neither consider the things of old. You know, sometimes when stuff goes wrong, don't we get out everything to consider? We get deep and meaningful and pull it all out and consider. And it rolls around. The Bible says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Shall you not perceive it? In other words, have you got your spiritual eyes on? Have you got faith in your heart to perceive it? Because you won't perceive it if you don't have faith in your heart and you've got your wrong eyes on. Are you able to recognize what God wants to do this year? It's going to take faith to perceive it. Look, another thing too, sometimes we can get in our lives and think, well, we've done everything, we've come to our limits. We've reached our goals, God wants, I've settled, I've done all I can do, but that is just not right. I love Caleb for what he did. Now, if anybody could have got a crusty old wineskin, it was Caleb. Because 40 years before getting into the promised land, he could see God's possibilities and the potential. But it was through these men's inability to believe God, he had to stay where he was for 40 years. Now, I reckon I'd have got a little bitter and twisted through that 40 years and complained and whinged, but he didn't. His time came. God had promised it. His time came and he conquered all the enemies in his area. So don't think to yourself, oh, what can I do now? I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. God wants to expand you and develop you this year. It is a decision to break out of old thinking. Be careful you don't get the browned off syndrome. Oh, yeah, I've heard all that before. Yeah, I don't see any good out of that. Mouldy old low expectations. You know, lift. God's wanting us to lift our expectations, to lift it so we can move. Remember the people he's healed. He said to them, do you believe I can do this? Are you expecting me to turn up? Are you expecting me to do it? God is always ready to do new things in our lives. God wants us to come up higher this year. What, you know that old song, que sera, sera, whatever will be. It's totally unbiblical. It's totally I can remember my dad singing that. But we can change our future, our attitude now. We can have a stinking future if we have a stinking attitude right now. We can make sure that it gets worse. If we lift our spirits, lift our attitude, your last year's wineskin might be a bit too stiff for this year of what God's going to do. He's going to pour in new wine. Free yourself up. Look, recently I had a bit of a health challenge and I had an honesty time with God. I let him know how my faith was in my boots, I wasn't doing well, and what was he going to do about it. I acknowledged my feeble state and asked for help. I said, God, help my unbelief. Holy Spirit, please help me. And then I'll tell you a little further in a moment what happened. So faith comes with God's replacement therapy. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Listen to what the word says. In Colossians 3:1, this is my favouritest scripture. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds, set your heart and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And I love another translation I have of that. I love it even more. It says, we yearn for all that is above. Feast on the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. Not earthly realities. You know, what you keep before your eyes will affect you. I don't know how many times I have a little room in where I have my quiet times with the Lord, and it's my art room as well. And sometimes I'm sitting there in deep worship and then I open my eyes and I think, oh, I should have put more blue on that. I suddenly lose everything. So occasionally I'm apologising to God. Oh, sorry, Lord, sorry. I'm back to you, Lord. You remember that ad, put some pork on your fork? Well, this year, put some faith in your year. Put some faith into you. Get a fresh wineskin. God's constantly trying to get you to spawn new creative ideas on how to bless others, how to serve in the kingdom, how to meet others' needs, how to make a contribution, how to walk in joy. The Spirit of God comes on us to take us further. It's Him. He is our helper. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. It takes a decision to get rid of the barely getting there mindset. So don't curse the new year with baggage from last year. Drop it today. What's today, 27th? You got 2 days before you can start and have lift off for the next year. Lift up, look up, take hold of some of God's vision for your life. Without a vision for the future, we perish. Think to yourself, what's my vision? How am I going to improve this life? Or at least we live a small, if we don't perish, we live a small, narrow life. We were not designed for a small and narrow life. Whatever life we have, we can increase it, develop it, bless it, and God can add His favour to it. As I mentioned, a couple of months ago, I had a a health issue, and I've had it for quite some time. I've got a cardiac arrhythmia, and I'm on medication for it. And the medication are not much better than what happens when I've got the arrhythmia. So I'm going into the right rhythm and then flicking out and then going into the right. And all of this time, over 6 weeks or so, the mindset was starting to focus on this thing intensely. How I felt. I get up, how do I feel? Is it the pills? What is it? And I began to realise it was filling my vision. It was taking over. And so my eyes were down and not up. And I'm sitting in my art room again, and I'm sitting there and I'm so angry with this little heart that keeps clicking out that I had this visualization that I was going to rip my chest open, grab that heart, give it the punching of its life and put it back in and close the ribs. I thought, that's what you need, a good punch up. And that's how childish you get when you're really down. So I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, I felt the Lord speak to me. And he said, Gwen, look up, look up. So as I looked up, my arms went up and I began to shout the victory, to shout the fact that he had taken my sickness on the cross, that he was a healer, he was bigger than any silly rhythm problem. And as I did, life began to come back into my spirit. And I felt so different for days. And then as well as that, he said to me, Gwen, why don't you expect God's favour again instead of looking forward to gloom? So I started off my days and some unusual things started to happen. God was out to prove to me that that phase was over. I went to a friend's place and I mentioned that my computer had broken. And she said, oh, I've got a laptop I never use. So I walked out of their house with a laptop. I thought, this is favour, Lord. This is favour. You know how people say when you drive down in the traffic and that it's a bit childish and trivial to expect God to... I had parking spaces where you wouldn't get parking spaces. And what's more, I got into traffic lines. I mean, I don't do well when everybody's angry and moving along, but I got me... These gentlemen let me get in my car and then I could get out, and I thought, Lord, I must be one of your favourites. I came home and I think it totally changes your mindset, absolutely, and that God wants us to live with that. So he wants us to think favour and not misery. And look, when you're unwell, it is easy to look down and become consumed with the issue. Your focus can get dark and consumed with the problem, and you can become obsessive with it. It's all that you think about and all you talk about. So he wants us to look up, not down, and to expect favour. My eyes suddenly became opened to expect God's favour and not gloom. So I'm challenging you to raise your expectations this morning. You can't stay at the same level of faith as you were last year. Truly, you don't want to, do you? No, we want to move on. We want to move on. Allow God to show you unprecedented favour. Don't become rigid and set in your small ideas. Expect doors of opportunity to open for you. He said he would look after you the whole year, and you have living water to drink from. I love Elisha. He was a bit cheeky, wasn't he, when Elijah said to him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I'll have double your anointing. And you know what? He got it. That's fairly cheeky stuff. Think favour, not misery. And life is made up of a whole lot of small things, and if your eyes are open, you can fill your day with joy. I have some scriptures that are like railings. You know when you're walking up a very steep set of stairs and you kind of go over and hang onto the railing and you lean into it and then you pull on the railing to help push you up the steep stairs. Well, I've got scriptures that are my railings. And one of those is 2 Corinthians 4:18, where it says, we fix our eyes on the invisible. That's one that's not done a lot. Fix our eyes on the invisible. Romans 12:2 is another one of my railing scriptures. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look up lest we absorb the filthy culture around us. the deteriorating culture all around us. Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, pure, lovely, admirable, praiseworthy, excellent. Now, I'm going to ask you, since you woke this morning, were any of those included in your thought life? What were you thinking about? Were you thinking things that weren't that? You know, some of us have a bent for bad reports, you know? You know, they made a newspaper somewhere in America that was only going to report good news. It crashed and burned. Because there's something within us that likes, there was a bomb went off, somebody was murdered. There is something about us. We just want to keep abreast of all of that, you know? So, when you are, yes, I've said that. So isn't it time to believe that God's goodness and mercy really will follow us all the days of our life? We sing that song at worship, you know, about his goodness following us all the day, and we get so anointed and we're so touched. We sense the Spirit. We sense the presence of God. But on Wednesday, if something happens, it's easy to forget. We must learn the art of remembering that goodness and mercy only will follow us all the days of our life. We must grow and increase in hope, faith, and expectation. Don't you want an improved experience of God, more favour, and newness of life? You know, when you got saved, you got newness of life. But now I'm 50 years along. I'm still wanting newness of life, thank you. And that requires me to drink of the living water and drink and drink. Ask God for fresh vision for this year. Say, God, I've had a bit of a not much vision last year. Give me a fresh vision. How can I bless? How can I contribute? How can I minister to you, Lord? Ask him for strengthened faith. Ask him for eyes that look up. The habit, to develop the habit of looking up instead of looking down. Ask him for a mouth that speaks hope. Oh, I don't think anything's going to come really good out of this. We're very Aussie sometimes. Ask him for eyes that see the Spirit and what he's doing. 2 Corinthians 10:5, as Felicity mentioned so beautifully last week about casting down imaginations. These are the other narratives. This is the theology we make up to justify our state. It's the alternative to faith theology. It's our realism. We are people that are realistic and on the earth, not fluffy and up there in the heavens. I challenge you to read Isaiah 54 when you go home. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. He was saying to them, come on, let's move on. Let's take more ground. Let's please God with strength and faith this year. Get ready for your next season, your next level, your next phase. You know, we can fill up our lives with restricted attitudes. We can be set in our ways, bound by our perspectives, stuck in our thinking, but we have to move with him. Paul said in Philippians 3:13 that he strained to reach forward. He wasn't satisfied with where he was. He wanted to know God more. He wanted to increase in his understanding of the kingdom. And I think it's nice time for us to just bow our heads in prayer. And let us bring all this before the Lord. Lord, forgive us for our grovelling tendencies and our unbelief and our doubts and the fact that we believe the physical world more than what you've said. And we ask for you to strengthen us and to fill us afresh with your Spirit and that expectancy like a little child. Lord, give us eyes that see what you're doing in the invisible this year. Help us to be a people filled with vision and have got your perspective. Yes, we will have mountains, and maybe some of those mountains, Lord, will be the ones we will cast into the sea by faith. But then we'll have valleys. Lord, help us in those valleys to keep our eyes on the invisible until you bring to pass what you want to bring to pass. Lord, we as a church want to be a people of faith, believers and trusters in God no matter what we see. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen.